Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a getaway to a family member's home turns into terror as they discover a recent remodel has awoken the dead. Spirits plague a late-night worker every evening at a very disturbing time. And a tragic story of life, death, loss, and strange coincidence.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802, the phone number to call in. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file directly to me. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Sean Reed joining you this fine evening. And how are things going in your world, Mr. Reed?
Warm. And the question I have, Tony, how hot is it?
Too hot? What's the answer?
Any ghosts that come visit you this week won't be wearing any clothes.
Oh, ba-da-bum. We need we need bad sound effects to have as part of the episodes where we're together, because we make a lot of, I think, bad jokes. But there you go. The day we're recording this is literally right before the 4th of July. This will be released a couple weeks after that. But I must ask, how much of a war zone does it sound like in your neck of the woods right now?
You know, what's interesting is I happen to live in a newer part of town that they've put a lot of money in over the last few years. But the extending neighborhood is still not as nice as we'd like. So regardless of the month, when I first moved here, I said, boy, they really like celebrating the 4th of July in September, in October, in November. And my colleague said, Sean, those are not fireworks.
Oh, God.
So to answer your question, it's a Tuesday.
So it's just there's firecrackers going off year-round that are not firecrackers.
I believe the brand of the sparkler was Glock.
Glock?
I believe it's a French. But no, I mean, there's been a lot more visual evidence that they actually are fireworks.
Yeah.
And they're... lot of self-proclaimed firework experts around these parts, so hopefully, sure, not all folks that have nine fingers right now will have seven Thursday morning, but we'll find out.
Let's
as we
see.
Record here 3rd of July, fingers or finger crossed.
That's setting some high hopes and a high bar there. We'll begin the show that way. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. First letter, it says, hello, I have a funny, ironic story. My husband and I are from Phoenix, Arizona, and we decided to go on vacation a couple of months ago to visit his family in Superior, Wisconsin. We stayed with his cousin who had just remodeled his home. It was two stories. The first floor was very open and seemed comfortable. However, the stairs going upstairs were extremely steep, and the house goes into an A-frame style, which makes going upstairs extremely awkward since I'm tall. The guest room we stayed in had no door because his cousin still needed to get on to put it up. I thought nothing of it except for when I went to bed that night. I felt that I needed to have a couple of drinks to help me sleep because I suddenly felt weird going to bed. I hardly got any sleep during the vacation because I felt that something was watching us sleep at night, specifically me. It seemed very curious and it was honestly bothering me. A few days had passed by and my husband had zero time alone with me, so we drove around town to find a quiet spot. And this is going to sound so morbid, but the only place there was zero people around was at a cemetery. We parked in the very back of the cemetery, and once we finished up, my husband laughed after looking out and downwards towards two gravestones and said, well, Esther and Lawrence Titterman had a great show. We both laughed, and we did apologize to them and went on with our day. I was curious about their death, so I Googled their names, and I found out that the wife passed away the same month and date my husband was born on, and the husband that passed shared my same birth date. After the husband passed away, her children brought her to Arizona so she wouldn't be all alone to live the remainder of her life. So ironic. After getting back to my husband's cousin's house later that night, we were all talking and I asked how old the house was. His cousin said it was built in the 1800s. I didn't believe him, so I looked it up, looked up his address on Google, and sure enough, it was built in 1888. I should have known better because I was feeling something while we were there, and I was not comfortable with it. We decided to go to bed around 11 p.m., and at about 3 a.m., my husband got up to go to the bathroom. The bathroom was located right across from our doorless room, less than 2 feet away from our doorframe. I got really scared and called out for my husband, and no answer. Suddenly, I heard someone really heavy run up the stairs with the speed of lightning run past our door and back downstairs. Everyone was sleeping upstairs. Not one person was downstairs. It seemed like it took an hour before my husband came back to bed, but it was only about 2 minutes. I told him what had happened and asked why he didn't at least respond. And he said he didn't hear me. Once we woke up in the morning, I did a little bit more thinking and thought maybe the couple we saw earlier that day decided to spook us a little bit, but I was the only one they really shook up. Anyway, I thought it was totally ironic that the wife lived in Arizona for the remainder of her life after her husband passed away and their death birth dates fell on our birth dates. Cannot believe that my husband and I did what we did in the cemetery. It's so not like us. Ha ha. Can't even believe I shared this story. Thank you, Chelsea. Well, there you go. Love in a cemetery.
Love in a cemetery.
Wasn't that like an 80s love song? Didn't Steve Perry do that or something after he left
Germany? I think it was number one from March to March 17th, 1984.
Love, and you'll hear it in a cemetery. Love. Yeah, but
love it. Cemetery. Okay, so is it the husband that couldn't hear her call for him? Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
But he came back into the picture. It's not like he went away and she had no idea where he went.
No. He didn't seem to respond to her for whatever reason, didn't hear her, didn't, you know. And I don't know. I mean, that sometimes that happens, but there's just a lot of weird coincidences going on here.
That is a situation where I believe, now, should he not have been using a Q-tip, I think that would be several reasons why you wouldn't be able to hear your wife, even if she was in such close proximity.
Yeah.
However, I definitely think that Mr. and Mrs. Tittleman, is that correct? Yeah, Lawrence
I said something like that. It was my best attempt at it might have been Tittleman. That's how I enunciated it. And that's the
Mr. and Mrs. T absolutely are coming back to say hello. You guys, kind of, this is where our everlasting place of rest is, and you chose to do what you did, so we're going to be reminders for the rest of your lives.
Why can't they just say thank you and move on? You know, what's the...
Wink!
I guess the question begs to be asked, have you ever gone into a cemetery with a significant other
in Wisconsin? In Wisconsin? Yes, actually, I have. And it's funny, it always comes back to radio, because really, if you've not been in radio, or if you have been in radio, radio affects us all. Is that correct? Whether it's a favorite song, whether, I don't know, you heard your friend on the radio,
whether
you were unlucky enough to be in it.
Whether you have kids or pets or neither.
Or, yes, exactly. So it involved a Halloween night. It involved a female. It involved radio event. And here's the deal. You, for many years, thought I had partaken in what the writer of the letter.
Took place in, participated
right.
in, yeah.
A game of Monopoly. So for several years, I had allowed that story to be in a proverbial crock pot, if you will, to let it boil, to let it marinate, to let you think absolutely it was a happy Halloween. But I was merely wanting to confirm that she made it home. She said she lived. There was apartments on the other side of the cemetery, so we could have walked around the block, mm-hmm. what have you, or cut through the cemetery. So didn't do anything, made sure she was okay. And that was on Halloween night. So I don't know if the fact that I did not partake in any extracurricular activities, that I have then not had any friends of graves that I have done things around. But yeah, I mean, on one night of the calendar that you probably would not want to be in a cemetery, I was.
Yeah.
I current day. I've not had any friends that have come to visit me to remind me of what I did or didn't do that night.
And that's probably a good thing. I remember the evening well, and we were at we had a radio event at a nightclub, and I think the creepiest part of the night was not so much the dead. And at the time, just to set the scene, we were about 18 years old, and we had to DJ this thing at this nightclub on the radio. And I think the creepiest part of the night of all things was not that it was Halloween, was not that people were dressed as zombies, was not that you went through a cemetery at night. It was our creepy boss.
Our boss, which no knock on him. He was born that way, and that's how he looks. But
no, nothing about looks. I was more so kind of like he was, you know, 40-something, and he was very much hitting on pretty much anyone that was, you know, between the ages of 15 and 18 throughout the evening.
Oh, that part yeah. about our
yeah,
boss.
Yeah, that part about now. Our boss, yeah.
Okay.
It was creepy.
I just thought about how he looked at people a long time. No, there was that too, and should he be an EPP, and he's tuning in to find out what his fellow radio colleagues are doing. Good to see you, Mr.
Don't say the name. Don't say the name.
You know, hey, everybody has that colleague that's a little weird or a lot, a little creepy or a lot.
Or a
and
lot.
And he had to be a lot in both departments.
Yeah, it was a great time. I ended up, there was basically, his employment ended eventually because I had logged so many horror stories of what he was saying to people. And eventually just said, went to HR and said, this person needs to go, and here's why. And a couple hours later, we had a new boss. Actually, we had no boss. I think
you never want to be, I think you were the boss.
You
never want to be the tattletale or feel as though you are, but it just, when things add up, you kind of need to have a certain sense of security at your job.
It got bad. It got scary bad. But there you go. I forgot that was on Halloween night till you brought that up, but it certainly was. Halloween.
And I have no idea why or how, but I had a pumpkin. I was holding a pumpkin when we were walking through the cemetery.
You probably stole it.
Like, hey, I got a pumpkin. It's Halloween. We're in a cemetery. Let's carve it. And I would have, like, winked to be like, you know, carve it.
God. Well, that's a great memory.
Eight-day forecast coming up.
Weather next. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. I used to work at a company in Ohio, says the letter, as a computer operator. The data center computer room was in the basement. You had to go down a set of steps through left and walk to a hallway and turn right to get to the data center. This is important to the story. As a computer operator, you had to work rotating shifts. First shift, then second shift, then third shift. I preferred third shift, so I would work with someone who liked to work second shift, and took his third shift. This way, I could work two third shifts in a row. Everything happened when I was on third shift. I'd hear banging around the room the first, but then there were two or three things that happened that were strange. Oddly, the first occurred on first shift. I was in the computer room and the radio in the back of the room just turned up. It was at the beginning of the song and then turned down at the end of the song. It was a Scorpion song. I went back to check the radio and I moved the radio around to see if it was due to loose wires. Moved the cords and such, but the only way it could be turned up by the knob was the only way that anything could be changed. I did not mind much since I liked the song. This happened again on third shift when I had a migraine. I had my head down trying not to move and the volume was turned on to another song. I don't know the name of this song since I was cussing out the ghost and telling it never to do this again. I turned the radio down and put my head down again. This never happened again. The next event was the scariest. On the weekends, you had to work by yourself, and I was alone in the building sometime between midnight and 3 a.m. I heard the door that led to the parking lot open and close. I heard footsteps come down the set of steps and walk to the hallway. They then walked down the hall but stopped before entering the room. I could not see the opening to the hallway from the desk in the room and called out to see who was there. There was no answer, so I got up to check. There was no one there. I walked all the way to the door and looked outside, but I could not see anyone. Thought the guard was playing a trick on me, so I called on the radio to see where he was, but he had never left the guard shack. I told him to meet me in the computer room and stayed the rest of the night there. After that, he said a few people had happened to that, and he had heard all of their stories. mostly of cold breezes in rooms down the hallway, curtains moving, and feelings of being watched. There was a supply room at the end of the hall that I always felt like I was being watched, and whatever was there did not want me there. Some people in the know thought it was someone who had hung themselves at the end of the hallway, where a tree used to be before the building was built, but I could not verify this. I started to talk to the ghost and say hello and goodbye, and I did it many more times. Thank you for the podcast. I found it on iHeartRadio and have been catching up since. I hope to hear my story sometime in the future. Keep up the excellent work. Workplace ghosts. Middle of the night. That can be an unsettling environment.
That is, you need to check your pants after situations like that. I can remember in the days, and again, it all comes back to radio, but Third Shift Radio, there used to be a human in the studio. So you go down the hall, whether you use the bathroom, whether you use the staff kitchen, countless times of noises. And as we've talked about in prior podcasts, episodes, that there are legitimate ghosts in several, you know, radio station buildings throughout the country, with them being very old and everyone has a story.
Did you ever have anything odd happen on a late night, overnight shift? Anything weird that you were like, okay, I'm just going to stay in the studio now for the rest of the night?
It really had nothing to do with a ghost. It was more of a, almost gave me a heart attack. We had another colleague, which I believe we briefly, all three of us worked together at one time. He was in between apartments, so there was a couch in the basement of the radio station. And in the world of radio and promotions, there are mugs, there are t-shirts, there are trial-sized bag of corn nuts. So I had known that there was something in the basement, very small building, and I was hungry. So I went downstairs, I turned the light on, and there is this man sleeping on the couch. I thought, what are my eyes seeing? Oh my goodness, he looks so lifelike. And then he awoke and said, Sean, turn the light off. I'm sleeping. And I thought to myself, and I went over and I pinched him and I said, who are you? What are you wanting to say? Why do you cometh? And he said, Sean, you remember that I can't move into my new apartment until the 15th. And I said, whoa, how you have so much current day knowledge? How are you knowing so many specific details of my colleague named Damien? And he paused and he got a sleep out of his left eyeball and he said, Sean, I'm Damien. And then scene.
So I remember that. And I remember the next morning, actually, where coming into work and someone's like, did you hear who's living in the basement? And I don't know that there should ever be a sentence said in a workplace is, did you hear who's living in the basement?
And in full disclosure, he's happily married. He's got a couple kids. I want to say he's working in Alabama. But, you know, it was like that 3-4-5 day stretch. Everybody's been through it. In between, you don't want to pay for a hotel room. You don't want to be that person to a friend. Hey, can I stay in your place and totally interrupt your life for a week?
See, I thought he was like staying there for a much longer period of time. I didn't realize it was just like until he got into his apartment. I thought he just like moved into the basement and didn't tell anybody. I didn't realize that part of the story.
I mean, I don't remember the details. That was 17-ish years ago now. So, but he's great now.
He is.
I'm pretty sure it's his second mortgage. They have two beautiful children. Yeah. And he wasn't a ghost. So
that was a good moment.
Yeah. How about you?
I remember going down there and having to help clean up the basement after that. And it was kind of set up like an apartment, which was the weird part, because nobody ever went in the basement unless they needed to get t-shirts. And it was usually really dark. But if you turn the lights on, it kind of had like a little living room setup going on down there.
It's kind of like in Home Alone, if you remember when Kevin first went downstairs and the heater that was talking to him. In full disclosure, and it's a lot older than me being 9 or 10 or 11 or 12. I mean, I can still remember when I would come home from college to the basement of my parents' house, and I would run after I transferred laundry from washer to dryer. Mm-hmm. Basements are scary places.
Yeah. This was one of them. It was not like finished off, nice, happy basement. This was brick mortar basement, and that was about it. But
this is cave-like basement. Yeah. You're going to get stuck down here for years, no windows, and they can't hear you.
And there was cages down there, too, where they would, like, just where they'd lock stuff up. I remember that. It was kind of it was weird. Anyway, I would say I can't say anything really paranormal happened. I would say the only place I ever really kind of felt like I don't want to walk around this place at night was in Green Bay at a station. They're not there anymore. It was on Jefferson Street. At the time, it was WIXX. And the TV station Channel 2 is still in that building in their basement. And that's where they broadcast out of. But the radio station was up on the second floor. And the building itself is an old schoolhouse. And it wow. I mean, like, super old. And it still had the gym in it. And really, the way it was all laid out were essentially all these classrooms, like, lining the outer perimeter of the building. And the place really wasn't kept up wonderfully. I mean, there was a lot of kind of cracking tile and everything. It was old. And I was always so afraid, you know, because if you had to go and use the bathroom, you had to go outside of the radio station area, which is kind of in the middle of the building. And you'd have to walk out into essentially the corridor where all of the stairwells are to go up and down. And if you're there at 3 a.m. in the middle of downtown Green Bay, there's other noises outside and such. And sometimes there's people that are sleeping maybe on the steps of the building. So sometimes there's banging on the doors and such, and you're the only one there. And it's just an old, creepy building. And my mind was thinking I was going to start hearing school children, you know, laughing or giggling. Never had that happen.
Could you imagine if you went by the gymnasium and you saw what appeared to be the custodian from 75 years ago just sweeping the floor?
No, I think the only creepy thing I saw in there, and it really wasn't creepy, was just the TV station doing a telethon back when telethons were a thing. But yeah, that would be very creepy, just sitting in there at like 3 a.m. Like, oh, hi.
I would have quit.
Hi, Mr. So-and-so.
I would have quit my job. The radio station would have been off air. It would have been dead air. I would have resigned right then and there. Got in my 1988 Honda and called it a day or night.
88 Honda would have been an upgrade to what I was driving to work there. This was in about 2000. And 1998 or so, and I was
it the Ford Taurus?
No, it was previous
bumper stick.
Previous to that, I eventually was that vehicle, but this was my I think it was 84 Sunbird, which eventually on one drive there, it started overheating and smoke started coming through the vents, and I broke down on the side of the highway near Oshkosh, Wisconsin. That was a great time. I think I was 16 or so.
By chance. That looks really cool because you could have the effect of the fire that's under the engine, the hood, that horsepower. Did you ever have a vehicle where the stereo system, the CD player, cost about, I don't know, three times the value of the car? Because I did twice.
Never had it. What I always did was I had the cassette deck and then the little fake cassette you push into there, and then you use the Walkman as the CD player. Mm-hmm. That's how I... That's how I rolled, and I thought it was...
You're smart. So you didn't pay, I'm not sure, $900 for a car, put a $2,100 sound system into it, just get done at Best Buy for it to not start.
No, I think that would have been like 3 months of pay at that point in my life. Yeah, yeah. No, I never did do that. Walkmans? But at the time, still about $100. But there you go.
The anti-shock that you put on the dash, and you're good to go.
No,
one those like $20 extra, but you didn't have to worry about it skipping because
it worked.
You could go over speed bumps, potholes. It worked, and "Steal My Sunshine" sounded amazing through the speakers.
There's nothing like "Steal My Sunshine" on a Walkman. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, "Hello, wanted to share a strange but tragic story that happened to me in 1997. My best friend and I were pregnant at the same time. Our babies were born about 3 weeks apart. We spent so much time together and had a blast with our new babies all that summer. In October, we found out about a baby pageant in Dallas. And being in Dallas, we realized it was a very big deal. And we entered, got through, and our babies were winners, which was very cool. Being a new mother and very young, I was only 22 at the time. I was over paranoid about any bad things happening to my baby. I'd have horrible daytime nightmare scenarios go through my head and stuff like that. The evening after we left the first round of the pageant and we were picked to go to the next round on the next Sunday for a bigger pageant, I had a horrible feeling of what would the judges do if one of the babies died? I was bothered by this thought and wondered why the hell would I think of this specific odd scenario. I kind of brushed it off and went on about my week. On Thursday afternoon, I laid down with my baby for a nap, and the phone rang while I was sleeping. I almost didn't answer because I was very tired and wanted to sleep, but did anyway. It was my best friend, and she just said I lost my baby. And I said, "What do you mean?" Because her mother was a questionable character, and she had told me her mother was going to take the kids. My best friend also had a three-year-old camping with her that week to give my best friend a break. I thought something bad had happened during this trip and was starting to get upset over this. But she said no, I'd lost him. And of course, I went into full shock and could not believe what was happening. She said she was sleeping and so was the baby, and she woke up. He had rolled over face down onto a mattress and couldn't get over and suffocated. It was written up as Sid's death. I never told her I thought of this before it happened. That was the absolute hardest funeral I have ever been to, and can't imagine the horror and mental strain this took on her, because she did kind of go off the deep end in sorrow and acted out by drinking and showing up at our house. I didn't get angry with her because I would probably have lost it also. I thought you guys would be interested in this awful story because I'd heard some really strange stories too. I have another odd occurrence involving my son when he was in junior high, a completely different city from where he was born. He ended up being best friends with a cool kid I just loved, and it turns out the kid was born on the same exact day in the same hospital as my son. How weird, right? Love your show. Best wishes to you and your family. Obviously a tragic, very sad story. I think what she's getting at more so than just the horror of that story is having those feelings and having a... you know, an intuition almost about something bad happening. What does that mean? Does it always mean something? And I would have to say that that very much depends on the individual. If you're someone who doesn't worry about things very much and suddenly you just have something really specific and really strange and dark come up, I think that would certainly be a questionable moment. I personally, on the other hand, worry about every damn thing and play every worst case scenario out in my mind of anything that comes in front of me. So chances are, if something horrible is going to happen, it's already been processed and done by the time most others would think about it. It's a bad thing to have happen. And it's actually something I actively try and work on not doing. But it's for some, it's just a constant, you know, strain of worrying about things. I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
It's absolute interpretation. If you are one that something out of the norm happens that you do not provoke, that you, again, the mind, the brain, we have darn near 100% control of it. If you want something to correlate to something else in your life, it will. And I think in a situation where you live your life that that's not how you are, unlike you and me, that you don't overthink every single thing that happens, which is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
And that happens, I definitely think that there is something to kind of question what in the heck is going on here. You've heard the saying, when you call someone and they say, were your ears ringing? Because we were just talking about you. Mm-hmm. On countless times I've called my mom or my family back up in Wisconsin. They said, oh, we were just talking about you. Were your ears ringing? Mm-hmm. That little bit different sense seems to be what this person that wrote the letter here, what such a, as she wrote, such a morbid thought. And yeah. Then to receive a call from a friend, hear that info. I could not personally, clearly I would show up to the funeral, but how she got through that, yeah. My goodness.
That's something you just never want to have to contemplate having happened to anyone at all than having to have to go through. That would just be a horrible thing. I think that the biggest curse of something like that, especially if it's not something where you literally worry about every worst case scenario, but if something does stand out, that because you don't have these thoughts all the time, would be the almost like kind of a guilt, like, well, could I do something about it? And the answer is no, because you can't really predict the future. But, you know, it's one of those things where when one of those things does happen, it kind of reaffirms, oh, wait a second, one out of 1,000 happened. You know, it's not good. It can very much mess with you. Thanks for sharing that story. Let's go to one caller here. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your story.
Hey, Bruce. My name is Bree. I'm actually calling from a small town in Missouri. I started listening to the podcast about a week ago at work. I've listened to it pretty much every day since. But it made me pretty curious to look into some experiences that some people had in a house that I lived in about 10 years ago. So I was about 9 or so at the time. My sister, or one of my sisters, would have been 4 or 5, and then my other sisters and my brother were younger. And then we had my dad's friend that was staying with us. So they both had experiences, the oldest younger sister and my dad's friend. I learned this probably 3 or 4 years after moving out of the house. My mom told me that my dad's friend had seen a little girl standing at the end of the hallway. He always thought it was my sister's. He would talk to him as if they were, you know, tell him to go back to bed, tell him to, you know, just go ahead and go to my parents' room. He, you know, he knew they were up because at the time, my parents and my little brother and my 2 little sisters, they all slept in the same bedroom. My siblings all refused to sleep in their own room. Every once in a while, my sister slept in a bedroom with me, but not very often. So he would see this little girl, and that my sister, while we were moving out, she told us that she, or told my parents, that she was glad that we were leaving. So now the man can't watch her while she sleeps. Of course, this freaked us out. You know, the 4 or 5 year old little girl doesn't just make this stuff up. Something had been, you know, terrorizing her basically the whole time we were living there. 10 years later, and she still remembers it like it was yesterday, and she won't even say the tall man, which is what she called it. She was having nightmares at the time. She said that demon-like creatures, sometimes being the shadow creature, shadow man, I guess is what you could really call it, were coming out of the closet, and they were attacking her while she was in bed. So, you know, that's really all that she remembers from the dream, but there were several nights that she would wake up. She said almost every night she would wake up and there would be a very, very tall shadow man just standing above my whole family and just watching them sleep. So I decided to get a hold of my dad's friend. I asked him a couple of questions. He's always said that he was more sensitive. I never really knew how far that went. So I just asked him, you know, if he remembered it, if I could ask him questions, that it's, you know, he was comfortable with it. And he said it was fine. And so I told him, you know, all that I've really been told was my sister seeing some kind of shadow figure and him seeing a small child. And he told me he did see a small child. And every time she was standing down the hallway by my sister's, what was supposed to be their rooms, in my room. And I asked if he ever saw the figure that my sister saw. And he said the shadow man, he did see him. He seemed to enjoy standing over people as they slept. My mom actually saw him doing this, standing over my dad's friend while he was sleeping. I asked if he was abnormally tall or if it was just because, excuse me, because my sister was so young. And he said he was, you know, he was really tall. He would stand over my dad's friend while he was sleeping on the couch, and he actually had to bend completely over. And, you know, I asked if he knew any details, you know, maybe something where I could look up the history and, you know, what happened to these people. And he told me he didn't try. There was no way. There's something really dark hiding there. And, you know, he seems a little skeptic about that house. You know, there's definitely something evil there. We all believe it. We definitely believe it's something demonic. And he, you know, he's done a couple of ghost hunting outings with different groups. He said he didn't see the little girl very often, I guess, but he was the only one that saw her. He actually saw the shadow man the most, and he said he usually saw him, you know, late at night, and he was always just watching and moving about. The little girl, the only thing he could really use to describe her was she was in a dress, and she looked like she was from like the 1800s. The shadow man, he said he just really tried to ignore him as much as possible. There was one time that he did put his hands on him, and it left like an oily residue, which to me, I wonder if that had something to do with after he died and, you know, whatever he is now. I wonder if that is just a cause of that, or if it has to do with something from his life before he passed. I'm not really sure. The only other thing that he could really tell me, there was a lot of traffic there. At times there'd be many different things. And, you know, I would love to look up the history of the house. I just don't have a lot to go on, especially because I'm not sure if it's the house or the land, if any of that's occurred in the house or if it's just things passing through. But definitely, definitely very scary, especially because I didn't have any experiences. It seemed to always give me an uneasy feeling the whole 2 years that we lived there. Everything just kind of felt heavy, and the air just kind of felt thick all the time. It was never a good feeling. And now, you know, 10 years later, I can realize that I've never been in a place that has made me feel like that. So it's definitely something going on. And then knowing that, you know, for 2 years, there's a good chance that something was, something that is not alive was just standing over me and just watching me sleep. It never harmed any of us. You know, he said it, he put his hand on him, but he didn't say that it, you know, strangled him or slapped him or, you know, anything aggressive or violent. It just put a hand on him at some point. I mean, of course, my sister was having nightmares, and especially for a five-year-old, it's scary. But it never seemed to actually, you know, act on any violence. So, you know, it's kind of scary that it just watched. It just kind of lurked around in the middle of the night and just kind of looked around at everything. I love to hear one of these on the I'd love to hear my story on the podcast. You guys have a good night.
So there you go. Creepy thing lurking, just watching you sleep. That, I think, would be one of the more uncomfortable type ghosts to have around your house.
How did she sleep once over the last 2 years? And more importantly, how am I now going to be able to sleep? Because they weren't mean. They didn't do anything. They didn't ruffle any feathers. They were just there.
I think what's really interesting about it is the perspective, because she sounds like she was, you know, young and she was living at home. And I think it's one of those things almost where when you're a kid and you have stuff that's going on around you that's, you know, normal, not normal, you don't really even know it. And that applies to the living as well. When you get out and you have some perspective, you go, oh, you mean not everybody acts like this? I mean, those are a lot of times very easy to understand with it's like family or friends or stuff that you're used to seeing. And then you kind of like, oh, not everybody does that. I think it's also that perspective can happen if you grow up in a haunted house and these sort of things are always happening around you. To you, you know no other way or no other feeling, and it's normal. And she didn't really understand that feeling of being watched to the extent that it was until she was out of the house. And then she's like, oh, that wasn't normal to have that always there. So I'm going to guess it's probably why it was sleepable, if you will.
I think that is a benefit to her that she did not have a best friend who invited her over to sleep.
Yeah.
For sleepovers a lot growing up, because wow, for her to maybe naive isn't the exact word, but in essence, naive to be able to get through life somewhat normally to what she believed that it was. And kudos to her. She sounds pretty sane.
Yeah.
Because if you go through that and you realize that that's not the case, what the heck am I going to do now? Hello, paranoia.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's probably a good thing there was never perspective given when she was a kid. It took till she was out of the situation to get that perspective. So it's a blessing that way. What kind of a interesting realization moment that must have been when she had that.
Wait a minute. So you didn't suck your thumb till you were 18?
19 is what I did.
And that's what some people go through, named Sean, and others have shadow men.
There you go.
That just rise above like a, what is it called? The thing that, on the crib, it hooks on, you turn it on, it spins, there could be music, it's for babies. Mm-hmm. What is it called?
Is this like $10,000 pyramid right now? Are we,
And then there could be animals. Like a dancing elephant.
A mobile.
Yes.
$10,000. Thanks, Dick.
Real ghost stories online.
There you go. And that's how we'll end the show, with a moment of $10,000 pyramid. Were you going somewhere?
Mobile.
Were you going somewhere with the mobile story?
I was in reference to the shadow man, like a mobile, just over you, being nice and playful, possibly playing a tune.
Mm-hmm. Oftentimes an object manipulated by ghosts. And we've heard of that.
Yes.
We've heard of that before, which is, that's, I think, one of the creepier things to think of getting manipulated is the just the little musical box music playing. It's slowly going, but nobody wound it up and nobody turned it on. And the baby's just sitting there staring at it. Oh, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Get bonus episodes of the show every single week and access to more than 200 bonus episodes already up there for your listening pleasure. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.